The following program is listener supported through Consider His Word Ministries.
Consider His Word. Consider His Word. Consider His Word.
From the heart of the Florida Everglades, this is the Consider His Word radio program. Today we want to encourage you to consider what God says in His Word, the Bible. I'm Pastor Arlen Payne, inviting you to join us as we open the Scripture together and consider His Word.
Consider His Word. Consider His Word.
Welcome to Consider His Word. Today we'll be in Revelation chapter 4. This is part of the series that we're currently doing through Revelation. Now, we're not doing a detailed study. We're going to do kind of a flyover of the book of Revelation. I don't know how long this will take. It'll probably be a while. And today we are going to slow down just a little bit in Revelation chapter 4 because this is such an important chapter. And I would encourage you, if you can, to go and grab you a Bible and join us as we consider His Word today. Are you doing that? I reminded you to take a look at our website at considerhisword.org. One of the things you'll find there is all of the messages in this series, so you can go back and hear all of them. There's also a link there where you can contact us. We'd love to hear from you. You can write to us and let us know where you're hearing the program, and if you'll send us an address, we'll send you one of our little prayer journals. We'd love for you to get one of these, and so just write to us and let us know. Now, you can also write to us directly at considerhiswordradio@gmail.com, or as many do, you can simply write to us at Consider His Word Ministries, 30290 Josie Billy Highway, Box 40, Clewiston, Florida, 33440. Let me give that to you one more time. Consider His Word Ministries, 30290 Josie Billy Highway, Box 40, Clewiston, Florida, 33440. We look forward to hearing from you. In Revelation 4, we see kind of a major change that takes place. Now, God had told John to write the things that he had seen. Revelation 1:19 said, "Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter." And so John is writing those. Now, we've read the things which he has seen, and particularly about those seven churches. We've just finished that. That took really longer to do than I had hoped. But we did those seven churches in chapter 2 and 3. Revelation 4 reveals to us a major change. And I believe that the change that happens here is the rapture. The next thing to happen in God's timeline, the next thing to happen in God's prophecy, is the rapture. It's such an important event. Now, I know that many take a different position on the rapture. Many believe that, first of all, that the rapture won't happen at all. Some believe that the rapture will come after the tribulation. Some believe it happens in the mid part of the tribulation. I believe that it happens before the tribulation. We call this the pre-tribulation rapture position. Now, there's another one called the pre-wrath rapture that showed up, about 10 or 12 years ago, and some hold that position. But I believe that the Bible very clearly teaches a pre-tribulation rapture. And so I want you to know that up front, that that is the position that I'm going to take. One of the reasons that I believe that is after chapter 4, the church is not mentioned again. And I believe that's because the church has been raptured out. From here on, the believers are called the bride of Christ. They're not called the church anymore. And so I believe that at this point, the church on earth is gone. Now, there may be church buildings and people that go to those churches, but you see, the church is an assembly of baptized believers. And if those are truly believers, they'll be taken out in the rapture, as you'll see. Now, I want to get to Revelation chapter 4. Let's read the first few verses. And what John said, he said, "After this I looked." God had told him to write the things that he had seen. So he said, "After this, after all of the seven churches and after all of those things happened, he said, I looked and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first verse which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat upon the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight as unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 elders, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their head crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were seven lamps of the fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And he goes on to describe exactly what he had seen. We're going to get into that just a little bit. But the main thing I want you to see here, first of all, was that a door was open to him. He said, I looked, and behold, a door was open. And I believe that door was the door to heaven itself. Jesus himself said, I am the door of the sheep. He said, I'm the door by me. If man, any man enter in, he shall be saved. That's John 10 and verse 9. John is about to see things which few had ever seen before. And he attempts to describe them by describing all of these stones and the rainbow. He goes on to tell us about a sea of glass. And he gives us quite a picture of what he sees at the very beginning. Now, Isaiah saw something similar. I want to go back and read that. I love this passage in Isaiah chapter 6. Let me go back to that for a moment. Isaiah 6, beginning in verse 1, Isaiah said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And Isaiah saw that scene. Paul wrote of a man also that he had known that had seen something similar. I'm going to go back and read what Paul said. It's over in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. He said, it's not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. For such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. It was a man caught up to the third heaven, and he couldn't even speak of the things that he had saw. So John saw this door. Now I believe this door was the door to heaven. And when the Lord told him to come up, that it was the same as when Jesus said that he would come again and receive us unto himself, that where he is, there would we be also. Now, the next thing he speaks of after he saw this door to heaven is then he heard a voice. And he said that he heard this voice as it were a trumpet. Now, everywhere we read of the rapture, we see these two things, a voice and a trumpet. In verse 1, let me read it. He said, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. So he saw the door open. He heard the voice. And the voice, he said, it were as a trumpet. Now, I believe this trumpet was like a shofar, not like a trumpet that you might think of, like a brass trumpet, but the shofar that the Bible speaks of was used to call people to worship. It was used in the Old Testament to call people to war, but it was also called people to gather together and to come together for an assembly. And all through the scripture, it's called the trumpet. In 1 Corinthians 15, it's called the last trump. 1 Corinthians 15:51, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Now, 1 Thessalonians 4, I believe, gives us the best definition or the best picture of the rapture that we have in the scripture. And you would do well to take time to study this passage of scripture, because I believe the next sound we will hear will be that voice and a trumpet. Or as John said, the voice of a trumpet. Paul said to the church at Thessalonica, this is 1 Thessalonians 4, beginning at verse 13, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or go before them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Now, two things I want to say very quickly. The last verse of this passage says, "Comfort one another with these words." And if you're born again, if you know Christ as your Savior, these should be comforting words to you, that you know this world is not our home, and that one day Jesus is coming, and he could come during our lifetime. And so if you know the Lord, these should be comforting words to you. However, today, if you're not saved, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, these words should strike terror in your heart. Because the things that come after the rapture, and we'll be studying these eventually, are horrible, horrible things. And so it's so important that if you're not saved, that you get saved today. Listen, there will not be any excuses. The Bible says that it's going to come in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. It's going to be faster than you realize. And you know, I've heard people say, "Well, when Jesus comes, then I'll get saved." No, you won't. It'll be too late. I've heard others say, "Well, after the rapture, I'll get saved." No, you won't. As the Bible says, there'll be a great lie that is sent out. Your day is today. And I would encourage you and implore you that if you've never trusted Christ, to do it today. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." To call upon him means that you're putting your faith in him, that you're trusting him. The Bible says that we must trust him. If we're going to be saved, for whosoever shall call, have you called upon his name? Have you called upon the Lord? Can you say you know him? I hope you do. And I hope you trust Christ today to bow before him, pour out your heart before him, and trust him as your Savior. God bless you.
Consider his word. His word.
Thanks for listening today. Like us on Facebook and visit our website at considerhisword.org. This is Pastor Arlen Payne saying, till next time, God bless you as you consider his word.
The preceding program was listener supported through Consider His Word Ministries.